Welcome, everybody, to Dynamo Lunch Radio. It's Rika in the studio, and I have here Sam in the back, and I have Janice on my left, and ahead of me is my special guest, Claudia Kiel. Just before we started going, I thought, when did I meet Claudia? Was it 2004, 2005? I do not recall the exact year, but we met at a conference and we actually shared a hotel room while we attended the conference. And that was the beginning of a lovely professional relationship. And now today, here is Claudia with me in the studio, and that is just simply terrific. Welcome, Claudia.
So glad to be here, Rika.
So Claudia, please tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I have a practice as an herbalist, a traditional herbalist, flower essence therapist, and traditional food nutritionist. So that's a few different areas. I'm also about to start, we're launching a new herbal school called Arbor Vitae, School of Traditional Herbalism.
Wow, so that is exciting. But now, Claudia, how and when did you get interested in herbs and flowers? How did it all begin?
Yes, I didn't grow up thinking I could become an herbalist, for sure. This wasn't in my world. And nor was food really much an issue or a thoughtful any way to direct that in my life. Though I believe the beginning of me moving away from conventional practices was when my father passed away from side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. I'm not against doctors by any means, but it just made me aware of those energies and that, how that can happen. And so I was not inclined, and I was inclined towards finding natural remedies. Though my life took me as an artist, and I was an artist and muralist here in the city, but always studying on the side natural ways. And I think the first thing in the 1980s, I began interested in flower essences, but I was clueless about how to use them. And then through a number of circumstances, I became connected with a number of ways of studying herbal medicine all at once in 1996. And so I just sort of entered into this world full force and was lucky to study with some master teachers, still not intending to be an herbalist. But when you learn great wisdom, you can't sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened with me is I started helping my friends, and friends would tell their friends, and I would see them, and then lo and behold, I started having a practice out of my tenement apartment within a couple of years, and have been practicing in Union Square in my office since for about 12 years.
Yeah, now that is a really terrific background. Thank you, Claudia. The question is, with all the energetic work, plants and flowers, how did you get into the food arena with Weston A. Price?
Yes. So within the herbal renewal, there was a great, when people were trying to understand the food and the food system and how that affected people, they were beginning to understand the effects of modern industrialized foods. And in the 70s and 80s, I was involved with that kind of thing. And it was mostly vegetarian understanding of how to move away, because meats were produced in ways that were not desirable. But in my herbal training, we began to discuss about people in modern times being much more depleted and having different kinds of state that were not common.
So nutritionally deficient?
Nutritionally deficient. They wouldn't even understand it completely that way yet. This understanding that there was a lack of vitality and much more serious ailments to treat with herbal medicine. And I had actually, just around that time, seen the book by Weston A. Price, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And I hadn't read it yet, but I was so struck by the pictures of traditional peoples. He had researched traditional peoples in the 1930s, many different people, tribes all around the world. And he took photographs, and those are also part of his research. And what I noticed in the photographs were the traditional peoples being healthy and wide-faced and bright-eyed, and then people, their cousins, so to speak, of other tribes having modern foods, being having different facial structure and having many, many modern ailments. And then just around that time is when the Weston A. Price Foundation was formed in 1999. And immediately it just made sense to me.
So you today Claudia is the chapter leader from New York City, correct?
Correct.
So you've gone all the way up there.
Yeah.
And I know that you're also involved in a food club, because listeners, the foods we will be talking about a little bit later, but again, we're talking about whole food nutrition. And it takes on a whole nother meaning when you really know what those foods are. And some of my clients have said, well, where do I find those foods? Well, we will talk about them later. But now, what is it about the food club that you do? Where is it? What does it do?
Well, there are many different approaches to getting traditional foods. They're more and more available. You can get really good foods at farmers markets, grass-fed animal foods. You can get fermented vegetables. Many farmers produce them in the traditional ways. There's other aspects. And people do seek out raw dairy, which is another traditional food, mm-hmm. on grass-fed for animals. You know, and so that has different legal parameters in different states around the country. Some states like Connecticut, California, Maine, you can just buy it in the store. In New York City, you can't buy raw dairy in a store. You have to go out to a farm mm-hmm. that has certified raw dairy. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's no farms in New York City. So it poses a bit of trouble for some people. And there's many ways that people have come together to bond, to go out to the farms together and do things. And there's food clubs all around the city. And if someone's listening not in New York City, the best thing that one person can do to find out sources for that is to contact their local Weston A. Price chapter leader, who will have those resources, but also they could go to realmilk.com that also has not all, but some resources for people to, you know, look at.
And of course, they can always contact you, or they can contact myself with questions and we can lead them in the right directions.
Yeah.
Now, let's go ahead and talk about one of your loves, herbal medicine. And you might, well, I asked you the question when we met last week. I say, Claudia, we have herbal medicine, and now the big buzzword is botanical medicine. Mm-hmm. What is the difference?
Well, in essence, nothing. But in practice, I think people are liking to represent traditional herbal medicine as something fancy. As with nutraceutical, sometimes we hear that word, and they'll say botanical medicine or a number of other words that become buzzwords. I mean, to me, it's somewhat like having fish oils versus good old cod liver oil. Mm-hmm. Fish oil is part of cod liver oil. It is a cod, you know, cod liver oil is fish oil, but it's much more than that as well. So related to botanical medicine and herbal medicine, botanical means plant. So you could say plant medicine. Mm-hmm. But I think when you go to an herbalist. Most herbalists, not all, but they're trained in traditional ways. And we look at plants not only as in their particular constituents, which maybe science looks at it that way, which is not bad to do that by any means. We certainly consider that. But we also consider something that we could talk about or not called energetics and the qualities and the properties of the plants, as well as those energetics within a person. So herbal medicine, traditional herbal medicine, is a larger category of traditional practice.
So on an energetic level, it really is a great mind-body modality to work with besides nutrition, because it connects at the energetic level, not just at the nutritional level.
Well, everything, I mean, energetics is an interesting word, and mm-hmm. everything has an energetic property, so food does as well. Mm-hmm. And some scientists will, if I talk about energetics, well, they'll bristle. But in herbal medicine, we generally use this term to refer to subtle qualities that plants and people and all life has. So, and those, I don't know if you want me to go on about that or...
Wow, go on. I mean, your information is interesting. Absolutely.
But there's many things you can say about that, and there's many different ways to evaluate. Oftentimes they present as patterns. So they would be things that we're familiar with perhaps as weather patterns. So if someone's damp or dry or hot or cold or depleted or in excess states, those are simple and very profound patterns that we can look at within plants and within people and within all life.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're looking at plants, how do we know which part of the plant to use?
That's a good question. You can use all plants, all parts of a plant in general, though certain plants, you would only want to use certain parts of the plant, and that is in traditional usage. And from a modern perspective, they would say certain parts of the plant hold certain constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And so some plants will use all parts, like dandelion. We would use the root, the leaf, and the flower, but we would use them for slightly different purposes.
Can you explain that, please?
So dandelion root is used commonly. The easiest way to describe it is as a good liver tonic. Sort of a balancing liver tonic.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaf is a food as well. You know, the root can be used as a food tea that's often used to use for herbal coffee. But the leaf, we see that in stores today, but it's also used as an herbal medicine. And the primary use of many is as a diuretic. And it specifically, particularly excels as a diuretic because while it stimulates diuresis, it also produces and offers the potassium that is lost in most other conventional diuretics.
Well, when I go to the market and I pick up the dandelion leaves, I like to chop them up with some olive oil, or you could add some garlic, and they are just delicious. And the good thing is, working with dandelions, we see them all over now in the spring, budding up. I like to eat the flower.
Yes, the flowers, in Chinese medicine, they're used more as sort of a heart tonic. But they're great in many different ways. And you can use them, make fritters and other kinds. They make a wonderful vanilla-like syrup.
Mm-hmm.
But both the leaf and the root, I've neglected to say, are excellent bitters. They have a bitter taste, and people will know that when they taste dandelion leaf. And that bitter taste stimulates digestion throughout the system.
So here you have a plant that helps your digestion.
Mm-hmm.
It helps your liver.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're going towards allergy season. And I know that there are some people who suffer from allergies, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know dandelions will be on the menu in various ways, shapes, and forms that I know. Mm-hmm. And the flower will be popped into my mouth, indeed. Now, here's the thing. We are not going to have a lot of time until we go to commercial break. But what, in a nutshell, applications of herbal medicines do you use the most?
Well, I like to use all ways, and if I get too much using tinctures or teas, I will use as a powder. So basically, very easy to use applications of tinctures today are what's called tinctures. They're often alcohol or glycerite extracts of the plant constituents into the menstruum. And they're easy. You can take drops. But it's actually more of a modern use. Traditionally, people mostly had teas, or they would have powders, or they would include herbs in other ways in their foods, or topically, or as smokes. There are numerous different ways to apply and use herbal medicine.
Now, in your practice, what is the most common way of using herbs?
I would say both herbs, both tinctures and teas work really well, and I use a lot in my practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know when we had class at your studio, your practice, you had the most wonderful tea for us. Thank you for that.
So it's a nice way to have the plants come alive. The one thing about that's really nice about teas is people get to see the plants in their dried form if they're not in little tea bags. And that is another way to connect with the plant medicine.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Claudia. Listeners, we will be back after the commercial break.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to Dynamo Lunch Radio, March 21st. Isn't this the beginning of spring today?
Yes.
Well, I am looking forward, that is for sure. But talking about spring, it brings us to a whole new feeling. And with that comes to my mind of growth, renewal, spurting up. Like I see the daffodils outside, they are trying to pop up. And that leads us into our next conversation regarding fertility and pregnancy. Now, Claudia, I know that you're an expert on this topic with regards to nutrition and herbals and flower essences. Infertility today, I hear so much about it, and in vitro, so much about it. I have a question for you. In your opinion, what are the main triggers for the infertility we've seen today?
Well, it's not one thing, certainly, and I wouldn't want to present it. And that gets back on one level to energetics, because there's each person presents in a different way. But there are many different common factors in our modern life today. Certainly stress and stress in the environment and stress in people's homes, and which connects a lot to endocrine imbalances. But another big issue today is our foods. And couples get very contradictory information about what they should eat. My mom didn't even think twice about it. She just went with her forebears in Norway ate and knew it. And now people are told all different kinds of things, and the food that we have isn't conducive to fertility on a number of levels.
Having been in Norway a few times myself, I know what that food is there, and I really like it. I certainly do. It's right up my alley as a high-fat and protein type myself, for sure. But now, regarding fertility foods, because we hear a lot about the low-fat and non-fat dieting that's been going on, and really that is not helpful at all for fertility or for general health, for that matter. Mm-hmm. But also the over-exercising, as you in working in gyms, the excessive cardiovascular fitness and trying to lose weight or trying to get in shape is also going to be adversely affecting the reproductive hormones. But speaking about diets, Weston A. Price, whom we spoke about earlier, he was very much into foods for couples who are wanting to conceive, right? So he, when a couple got married, for instance, he called them wedding foods. Right. We might call them fertility foods today, but would you like to elaborate on that?
Well, he actually called them sacred foods, and he got that term from the peoples he studied, many different peoples, different tribes. He would ask them why they went to such trouble to get certain foods, particularly what we would consider as wedding foods or, you know, at a wedding food or for new young couples, newly married. And they would marry at certain times related to the fertility in the land. He would ask them those questions, and he would get what he was struck with, an answer that said, they said, we need these foods to have healthy children. They did not understand what constituents are in these foods or any of the things we might consider in modern nutritional science. But they knew from the wisdom of their culture and their traditions that certain foods were important to have healthy children.
Now, I'm sure listeners are probably saying, well, now finally tell us more. What are those foods, right? Here we're talking about foods, but what are they? So, Claudia, what are they?
So they're the foods your grandparents naturally knew to have. So they are eggs, both fish eggs and fish and poultry eggs.
Duck eggs,
yeah. You know. Liver was considered a sacred food, a fertility food. Butter is also a sacred food to a number of cultures and a great fertility food. There are other foods like that. We would have the fatty fish, which mostly people think of as salmon. But there are many other oily fish that have all these nutrients, the fat, soluble vitamins in it as well.
What's most important is that the fish is wild fish.
Yes. Traditional people certainly did not have farmed fish. And there are a number of issues with the farming of fish, and particularly of salmon. Genetically modified, one. Another is the food that they're fed is not their natural food, and so they don't have those constituents. But also a huge sort of elephant in the room related to that is that Atlantic salmon, which is all farmed salmon, there's no wild commercially available salmon, is very high in PCBs, which is a very big issue for pregnancy. And it's a persistent toxin that's hard to get rid of.
Now, also, fats from animal sources. I know you had mentioned butter, but I know Wesley Price also was very much into meat proteins if they were available in the immediate environment. And also for the vitamin A, vitamin D, and vitamin K2, which helps healthy bone formation, and the calcium. All those nutrients were definitely more in their natural state rather than what we have today in commercial foods.
So Weston Price was at this very interesting time. He did this research where he could actually go to many different cultures and learn about their foods, but he could also bring those foods back, which he analyzed in the best labs of his day. And he found that these foods, the sacred foods, the fertility foods, the other foods that they commonly had and valued, were very, very high in vitamins A and D, and something he called the X factor, because they didn't have the science to understand what this constituent was. And now we understand that as another fat-soluble vitamin, vitamin K2.
Mm-hmm. That is terrific information. Thank you. And I do see, though, that cod liver oil has made a whole new resurgence, or is coming back again.
Yes.
Versus the fish oil, which is high in omega-3, but the cod liver oil is really terrific for brain health. And it doesn't matter what age, right? So for the developing child or the mother, of course, having a healthy and vibrant child with a good brain and mental function is just one of the things that we wish for. But even for ourselves, in what we're seeing out there with neurological diseases going on and mental health concerns, I'm glad to see that vitamin A and D, and of course in the cod liver oil, is making a resurgence in our circles at least. Mm-hmm. So what do you recommend regarding cod liver oil?
Well, I recommend it, period. But, and actually, you know, it's sad how it's fallen in recent years in use, but it, as you say, it's gaining a resurgence. You know, people first started using fish oils, but there's some issues with fish oils, how it's produced today, and cod liver oil, and particularly fermented cod liver oil, which is the traditional way it's been produced. It's not heat solvent. It's fermented. And so when you ferment anything, you make all the nutrients much more bioavailable and add more nutrients than were there originally.
One nutrient that's really important in the cod liver oil is the DHA. Because there have been really good results with children with ADHD and ADD with behavioral issues with cod liver oil.
Yes.
And I think that is
really
great.
And that's in the family of omega-3 fatty acids, which work on many, many levels. And it's not just for brain function. It's for many aspects of our immune health function. Vitamin A is critical for that. And we know that we have this epidemic of autoimmune disorders.
Now, that being said, in today's world, we have to take into consideration the food sensitivities we have going on. So if someone has dairy issues, of course, we're not going to say, okay, go and eat or drink dairy. We have to always customize the nutrition according to the person, client we're working with. Mm-hmm. Now, regarding breastfeeding.
Claudia, just a little note about the dairy, which is very true. And dairy is not necessarily for everybody, and many people don't have good gut health to do that. But a great deal of the issues today related to dairy has to do with the modern processing. We give the cows soy and corn, which are not their natural foods, and they have allergens to that. That affects their milk. There are other ways that it's processed. We not only pasteurize, we ultra-pasteurize. It's going beyond the boiling point. That affects many elements of the dairy. So some of the sensitivities we know, or a great deal of the sensitivities we know today, are due to the way we process the milk, not to innate problems in
dairy.
And
right now, it is the issue of putting aspartame into milk. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not going to go there. My soapbox is safely under the table. But now, speaking about breastfeeding, we are going to have just a few more minutes. Let's talk about soy. Because soy is a hot topic, and again, there is soy formula. A lot of people eat soy. And regarding infertility, soy can be a big factor that affects fertility. Would you like to tell us more about that?
Well, soy was not a food originally. It was used as a cover crop. It's a legume and used for soil fertility because it's nitrogenous. And it is all beans have this property on some level, but soy was particularly high in a number of properties that we call today anti-nutrients, mm-hmm. and as well as other issues of phytic acid and things like that. And so in ancient times, they started to ferment the soy to make it into a food, which neutralized many of these nutrients. Fast forward, and it was not also, to go back a little bit, it was also used in the context of other aspects of the diet within animal foods and fish broth.
So
and
it
other
was
kinds
a condiment.
It was more of
than
a condiment.
Protein replacement.
It was not, So we fast forward to modern times, and soy is a big industry, and there's a lot of industrial promotion of it, and it's seen as a replacement of protein for vegetarians and a number of other properties. And basically, we have things that were never existed, like soy oil, soy flour, soy things, and none of the soy that we know today was prepared in the way it was in ancient times and or used as a condiment now. And now we have the additional issue of having genetically modified soy, which is about 90% of the soy grown in the country.
Well, one more note on the soy, it is known to actually work against thyroid function.
Yes.
Right? Which, so that's a
big
one.
Which definitely affects fertility. That's a big issue in fertility.
Listeners, we will be leaving you now. We're heading into our commercial break. We'll be back soon.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. 8183 or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power, Power Hour
at 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome to Dynamo Lunch Radio. Rika and Claudia here in the studio. Now we are speaking about healing foods, sacred foods, fertility foods. If you would like more information on that, you can go to the westonaprice.org website. And not only that, regarding fertility, children and babies, there is a terrific book with the foods we are speaking about and great health tips. The book is called The Nourishing Traditions Book of Baby and Child Care, written by Sally Fallon Merrill and Thomas Cowan. The book is sold out already on Amazon. So if you'd like more information, do contact me at my website, rika@nyintegratedhealth.com. But first, Claudia, what is your contact information?
People can reach me through two websites. One is my website at earthflower, earthflower.org. But also, as I mentioned, our new school, which we're launching this week, called arborvitae.ny.com. And I'll spell that out because it's a Latin term. arborvitae.ny.com.
Wow. So earlier on, I was talking about spring, about giving birth, daffodils. Now we're speaking about pregnancy. And now you are having your own birthing process this week.
Yes.
Spring is in the air. Maybe not weather-wise, but it certainly is here. Yes. But now, leading me into the next line of thinking, with all this coming up and being really busy, a certain level of anxiety creeps up when we are super busy. Mm-hmm. And anxiety is a big hot topic in today's world.
Yes.
So, Claudia, how do you perceive anxiety?
Well, again, there are many facets to us and how we experience anxiety and many things that can contribute to it. We've been talking about food, and I'll just sort of briefly mention a couple of elements that really in modern times affect anxiety in our nutrition. And then, but of course, herbs and flower essences, which we haven't talked about yet, excel in addressing many aspects of anxiety. So related to food, the sort of nutritional highlights, B12 deficiency is actually more rampant. And one of the early signs of B12 deficiency, among other things, is nervous disorders and anxiety. Probiotics, actually, people don't think of that as affecting our moods. By and probiotics, I'm talking about our beneficial bacteria that's within our gut and throughout our body.
That is really new research.
It is really new cutting edge research, though it is innate within traditional wisdom, because traditional peoples always had probiotic foods as an integral part of most every single meal. But now we understand that there is a direct effect in certain strains, actually, of bacteria being studied to that particularly affect anxiety. But in general, it's best to have generalized probiotic foods. And if we need it, we can have supplement that with some probiotic.
Well, it's interesting because, of course, we do know that the gut and the brain are connected.
Yes. Right. They call them the second brain.
Right. And now we have so many foods with antibiotics, or we've had antibiotics in our systems for whatever reason, that has altered the flora in our stomach.
Yes.
And as such, it'll alter our gut and brain connection. It'll alter our thinking, mood, and emotional mental state. Yeah. So now we have to reconsider probiotics in trying to recreate more of a balance.
Yes. You know, we've had an antibiotic leaning in our world, unfortunately, and we are all reeling from that. And so now we're sort of trying to balance it and recognize. And interesting studies, you're right, that they're doing, because in the human microbiome, they realize that they have to study our beneficial bacteria, because for every cell in our body, we have 10 bacteria cells. We are more bacteria than we are human, if we want to consider it. But humanity really is living in symbiosis with our bacteria and microflora.
Mm-hmm. So are there, I mean, we do know that synthetic foods are a no-go, additives, food colorings, all that will affect mental health. Sugar diets, high carb diets, or skipping meals, not eating, can trip sensitive people up if they have blood sugar issues. So all of these food and dietary habits, and even lifestyle habits, do play a role, or excessive alcohol, it all matters in the big picture.
Another aspect of nutrition for our mood disorders or anxiety would be actually healthy fats, which we've started to talk a little bit related to cod liver oil. Cholesterol, which has been so vilified, is actually very important. Mm-hmm. And low cholesterol, you can start to have anxiety attacks for sure. But it also nourishes our hormone system, which is very much a part of how our whole mood function and many aspects of our nervous system. So these are just generalized kinds of principles related to food. There are other things to say.
It's interesting that you mention that, because our reproductive hormones, they need cholesterol, because that
too
is the food source for those hormones.
And the sacred foods were actually often very rich in cholesterol, ironically enough. Today, I think a lot of people would be shocked to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Now, staying on anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach anxiety from a herbal medicine perspective?
So, yes, there are many herbs that have many beneficial effects to help us find balance in our moods and our body. And so there's not one herb for anxiety. I think that's a leaning that we tend to have. What's the anxiety herb? And there are many that are presented that way, from St. John's wort to kava to other ones. But if you were to see a traditional herbalist, we would look at many aspects of a person's, what I started to refer to earlier, energetics, and look to see the plants that match that. But still, we could say certain principles. You would want herbs from a class of herbs called nervines, herbs that nourish the nervous system. And then also what's becoming more well known generally is a class of herbs called adaptogens, which generally means helps your body to adapt to stress. That could be actually emotional stress, but it could also be the stress of living in a toxic environment.
Now, regarding nervines, can you give us some examples, please?
So one of a primary nervine that's gotten attention and even become a little bit of a fad herb for a while is St. John's wort. But St. John's wort is considered tropo-restorative to the nervous system, a generalized nervine. And it is a gentle mood elevator in many respects. It also has properties as a very potent antiviral.
Mm-hmm.
And we think of it as restoring other aspects of nerve function as well, when nerves have been...
especially also if you have pain.
Yes.
Right? Because the nervous system really gets tripped up when you have
so
physical
we can
pain.
Use it for pain as well.
And regarding the adaptogens.
So adaptogens are getting a lot of attention today because they have such good balancing effects. They have generalized a balance. They're called amphoteric. You know, they don't go in any direction. It's like the herb itself has the wisdom of what the body needs. So if you have hyper states, it will bring it down. If you have hypo states, it will bring it up. And so there are many herbs that are adaptogens, and some have affinities in different ways. One is reishi, mushroom, Ganoderma.
How do you spell? That's the R-E-I-S-H-I?
No, reishi is the common name. Mm-hmm. It's from China, the common name, and that's spelled R-E-I-S-H-I. Mm-hmm. And it's of a class of mushrooms, fungus, called Ganoderma.
Right. Now, regarding adaptogens, I hear a lot about Romania and ashwagandha. And also, what are the ones that you work with primarily within your practice?
Well, ashwagandha is a wonderful anxiety herb. And it's been traditionally, it's an Ayurvedic herb. And it's used for fertility. It actually increases semen count and sperm motility. Mm-hmm. But for anxiety too, it's often used in a modern sense, is when one is burning the candle at both ends. Mm-hmm. It's a very restorative. In Ayurveda, they call it a rasayana herb. So it has actual many effects for the thyroid, and it helps to restore low thyroid function, autoimmune disorders among them as well. But for anxiety, it actually is considered a calming nervine.
And the thing is, we're talking about the nervous system, but for listeners out there, of course, the adrenals are in our nervous system. Yeah. We didn't mention that in the nervous system, but I do want to point that out.
So adaptogens have very potent effects on the adrenals, balancing effects and raising effects.
Mm-hmm. Because they affect every system in the body.
And ashwagandha would be one example.
Yeah. Now, the other one that had quite some buzz at the symposium 2 weeks ago was rhodiola.
Yes, rhodiola is called red root. I actually recently spent some time up in Alaska this last summer, and I was in hiking, and I was drawn to this one plant, and I had some local botanical books that I didn't know, and I kept on seeing this plant. It was called red root or rose root, and I thought, oh, I love this plant, but I didn't know it, and then I found out that I didn't look up the Latin name, and it was rhodiola. So I was... But I do love this plant, and it grows in the northern places of the world. And it has many effects. It's a generalized adaptogen. You can use it. And it has a mood elevating effect, among other things. And depression is associated with anxiety and vice versa. There, you know, other heart effects and so...
Oh, sorry, that was just a buzzer going on, but we're still here. We're not going anywhere. Now, in any case, Claudia, speaking about these herbs and plants or botanicals, however one wants to call or think about them, what is your, with regards to integrating them with someone, with a client who is on a pharmaceutical, say an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication, mm-hmm. what do you experience?
Well, first off, an herbalist is not allowed to treat and interfere with a doctor's orders. And so it's only when a person comes with their desire and with their doctor to get off of their medication.
So you work in conjunction then with the client and the doctor?
Yeah, I tell the clients to talk to their doctors,
okay.
You know, of course. But, and you cannot just go off these drugs because your body regulates around them. Mm-hmm. So it's not responsible to just supplement herbal medicine or flower essences without creating balance in the system.
You have just mentioned flower essences again, and we will get there in the next segment. Right now, though, we're heading into our next commercial break. Mm-hmm. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome to Dynamo Lunch Radio, here with Claudia Keel in the studio. And you know what? I am getting anxious. Do you know why? Because we're running out of time and there's so much to talk about. Maybe it's time for some flower essences, right? Now, Claudia, in the stores, I see the Bach Flower Rescue Remedy. And I mean, I see the Fairway, GNC, I see it all the time. What is the Rescue Remedy all about?
Rescue Remedy is five flower essences that Dr. Bach made into a formula. He used it first for, he lived in Cromer, England at the time that he was developing. He used it for fishermen when they were, cast out at sea and, shipwrecked. And so, and he started to see how this essence would help ground and recover, help somebody recover from shock. So it is a generalized, immediate kind of shock and often used for stress, but it's meant to be used for specific stresses at particular times, though it has a very good action and very potent action, and that's why it's become so popular.
Well, I know in South Africa it is very popular, and I know that someone else who uses it and was given a prescription for anti-anxiety medication, and she said, no, I'm not taking the medication. It makes me ill. I'm going to take Rescue Remedy, and for her, it works. So, but the key is, like we had spoken before, to get to the root cause of the anxiety, isn't it?
Yes. So the Rescue Remedy, or sometimes it's called the Five Flower Blend, which is what Dr. Bach called it, is great for people to just self-medicate, for sure. And, give them own remedies. But the virtue of going to a flower essence therapist is that we have and understand the energetics behind flower essences and people's imbalances and emotions. And we can use them in a way that can help address the underlying causes and not just the immediate stress in the moment.
So where or how did you study the flower essences therapy?
So as I mentioned, I started seeing the Bach essences in the 1980s in health food stores, and I would get books. Not very much was available then, and I would just read them because I felt like the descriptions of flower essences contained an innate wisdom that I wanted to embody. And I had to just put it to the side. I would buy them, but I didn't understand how to use them really. And as I started to study herbs, There are many people who also start to use flower essences because it is another version of plant medicine. And I started to study with different people. But one person in particular, David Dalton, I studied with because he used, he made flower essences out of medicinal plants. And he helped me understand the connection between what we understand of plant medicine and what we might call now its magical or energetic properties, its personality, and how it's used in flower essences. And he also developed and as other flower essence practitioners have, but energetics. So I understand from studying with him more how to use and practice in flower and essence therapy.
Because when you are addressing anxiety in a client, I mean, as I mentioned before, so we want to find out really what's more the root cause, how can we support the client from all different angles, and how do you sometimes make the decision whether you're going to use herbals or flower essences?
Well, so somebody might come to me with anxiety and they might come to me for flower essences for anxiety, mm-hmm. they're thinking, and I might look at their food, or they'll come to herbs and I'll think, well, this has emotional, but usually there's all three together work in concert, but certainly the base of most of our ailments is our emotional states. Mm-hmm. Because that affects many aspects, certainly our thinking and our way that we live our life. But also we're understanding now in a generalized way how stress affects tissue states and our well-being. And so there are many ways to approach it. But generally when I work with flower essences, I'm able to address the root of a number of people's imbalances and ailments and certainly anxiety.
Mm-hmm. That sounds absolutely terrific. Now, regarding flower essences, can you give us an example?
Yes. There are many, as you might imagine, too, for anxiety.
Well, okay, I will help you out here.
But there's one that and that might not even be listed as much as a particular flower essence for anxiety, but I think of borage. Now, borage is a beautiful plant that's used as food, herb, and flower essence. Very well and frequently. As a food, it tastes like cucumber a little bit, and it has beautiful flowers that are candied and put in desserts. As an herb, there's many uses, but one of the uses is as an herb that helps to restore adrenal function. And as a flower essence, and it has very similar actions, but we understand another level. It's also considering in herbal medicine as a herb that raises mood. And there is something very beautiful just to look at the plant that raises mood. But as a flower essence, we look at other aspects of how the plant is and grows. It is a beautiful star-shaped flower that starts off pink, pointing up to the heavens, and then bends down in a beautiful kind of particular blue that is pointing to the earth. And so there's a saying, it's borage por coraggio, borage for courage. And that applies both to herbal medicine as well as to flower essence therapy. So flower essence is often used, borage, for discouragement, for states that when people might be sad, but also when they need courage, because a lot of anxiety, there are many aspects to it again, but anxiety is neither fight nor flight, it's sort of freeze. And sometimes, and a lot of times to help people through their anxiety is helping them to engage with their world around them and either to fight or to fly, you know.
But being able to take action instead of
being
stuck.
To take action and to engage with their life, you know, rather than, and often anxiety has a lot to do with just too much information, too much around them that they don't know how to engage with.
Yeah, life can be like a treadmill. It just keeps going and going, and sometimes the speed goes up or the inclines go up, and you just got to keep running. Otherwise, you're going to fall off. And yes, in the end, you can get totally stressed out. Yeah. So flower essences are a tremendous, tremendous modality to look into for myself, too. Now, Claudia, tell us about the school, please.
I'm so happy to. So we've called the school Arbor Vitae, School of Traditional Herbalism. And I have partners, and we'll all in the formation, but we're also going to be bringing master herbalists from all around the country and internationally to teach And it will be a 3-year program. We'll be starting with the first year in September of 2013. And it'll be focused on clinical herbalism, but the first year will be very comprehensive, 320-hour program, but that could also be a standalone program for someone just wanting to be a family and community herbalist on a smaller scale.
Now, the classes, is it a full-time program, part-time, or evening?
So we'll also offer community classes, mm-hmm. which would be just evenings and weekends as well. And that will start in the spring, so they can go to arborvitaeny.com to check on some of those that are just about to be announced. But the program, the first-year program, will be on Tuesdays, full days in a, during the academic college year. So it's mm-hmm. And then we'll also have one weekend a month. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a 9-month program.
Now, what are your prerequisites before joining the course?
Well, we have an application process. Mm-hmm. Though the first year, it would be, of course, good if people have some basic understanding of herbal medicine. Maybe somebody's coming from the medical field and they don't have any knowledge of herbal medicine, but want to study traditional herbal medicine and understand how that integrates. That would be fine as well.
Well, I just think the integration of East-West, and let's put the flowers in there as well. It's just terrific. So even though sometimes I can think, okay, we need to broaden the horizons, there are so many good things going on that it's always worthwhile to really look at the bright side of things and see what is going on and how mm-hmm. many people want to learn more and how many physicians want to integrate more. At the symposium 2 weeks ago, it was so apparent, just also physicians wanting to learn about plant medicine.
Yeah.
And it is just very organic in its growth. And that is just terrific. Claudia, I want to thank you so much for coming to the studio. Want to wish you all the best with the school. And I want to wish you all the best with the practice. And in case you haven't gone out yet, I know you've probably had some bacon and eggs already for breakfast. I had, that is for sure. I want to thank you, wish you all the best, and it was great to have you on the show.
So nice to be here. Thank you so much, Rika.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators, and I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your neo-sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.